blessing to be here. And I've been tremendously blessed already today. I can't imagine young people sitting under these teachings already that we got today when I was in youth. And it's precious. It is it's just something that you can't take for granted, but take it as building stones in your walk. And when the Holy Spirit touches you, open your heart. Don't harden your heart. There's a song that I sing at home. I didn't even check for the lyrics. And it kind of goes on what I want to speak about here this evening. And I'm going to read the lyrics and the first verse in the chorus. It says, we're a band of Christian soldiers fighting Satan every day. We're standing up for Jesus while we're kneeling down to pray. If his precious blood has cleansed you and washed away your sins, that makes you a member of the Bloodwash Band. Praise God, I'm a member of the Bloodwash Band. I've been washed in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. I was bound by chains of sin, till one day the Master came and made me a member of the Bloodwash Band. Amen.
Amen.
On that basis, I would like to speak. Now, I don't know where we're all at this evening. I was tremendously blessed this morning on the teachings that we got on the fundamentals of the working in Christ in us, of the translation from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And on that base, I would like to preach this evening and speak on the freedom. The freedom we have as believers. The liberty as believers. And so often we hear the word freedom. We hear Christian liberty. We hear, well, that is my Christian liberty. Or we are free from this or that. And the Word of God talks about freedom. It talks about liberty. But I've come to realize it is referring to the life we experience in that paradigm, in Christ. When we come to Christ, we are signing up to join an army. The Bloodwash Band, cleansed by His precious blood. We were bound by chains of sin till the Master came. So, freedom in Christ. There's one phrase I'm going to start off with. Freedom in Christ means freedom to produce the fruits of righteousness through a Spirit-led lifestyle. How often have we heard different interpretations, different aspirations of freedom in Christ? And when our goal is to actually produce a life that brings forth fruit, that lives a life of obedience in Christ, freedom is a truth we love in the Word of God, and we like to put a lot of emphasis on it. But I believe, and I looked a little bit into it, but I believe when we hear about freedom in today's Christianity, it is one of the least understood truths in the Word of God. It is the most talked about truth, or not the most, but very, very popular subject to talk about. But what does it mean? What does truth mean in Christ? I believe it's one of the more important ones. Because without experiencing true freedom, a believer cannot grow or flourish or be nourished in Christ. In order for us to faithfully and effectively serve Christ, we have to be set free. And we have to be set free by Christ himself. But the question still remains, but free from what? What are we being set free from? And we so readily declare free from bondage, or there's a bondage, we're bondage back there, or this group is in bondage. And while we make these declarations, there's areas in our life where we are in bondage. Is it work? Is it religion? Is it sports? Is it entertainment? Is it social media? Is it being self-absorbed? And because we interpret freedom wrong, we deceptively feel that we are free in Christ. And this is where it starts to get ugly in a believer's life, when we interpret freedom wrong. And only to find out years later, we have not grown at all in Christ, because we honed in and tuned in on the wrong freedom. Or we disgruntledly talk about situations or circumstances we're in, when God in his loving mercy took us and put us in a situation out of his loving kindness to teach us and to mold us and to shape us and to conform us into the image of Christ. We wiggle back and forth and we try to get out of it and we run. And Christ never does his work in us. And it's all because we cannot fathom the wisdom of God and how he deals with his children, whom he desires to walk as sons with an inheritance. And I remember, let's use a few illustrations about freedom. I remember as a little boy going to town with my dad. And one of our favorite stops was McDonald's for ice cream. And I remember him going in, buying an ice cream, and buying one for me. And I really love ice cream. I always have. And I would look a few minutes later down, and it was gone. And I was a sad boy. And I remember thinking, just give me the freedom to drive up to that drive-thru and buy as many ice cream cones as I want. That's freedom, huh? But you know what? Now we just have to drive past it without even stopping, because we know that we can't do that. We're not bound by ice cream. We know that we are free, and we can make that decision as grown-ups. And it's a little like that in Christ. In fact, that's how it is in Christ. I remember in my life struggling with maybe new phones in earlier years. Just this one more phone, I think it's going to be over then. One more update. This phone has all the options I need. Can email, can go on internet with it. How long did it last? It didn't last long, because it was always pulling. It's always nagging at you. It has control in your life. And we struggle the same with many things in our life. And we've talked about social media today already. Does it control us? Do we have to be on it every day? Well, once an hour. Movies. Does it control us? Yeah, I spend time on there, but I'm a believer, I'm free. Is that freedom? Maybe not. I think something else is still controlling us. God's people They need to be built up. They need to be strong. They need to be warriors. They need to stand against all the snares, all the temptations, against everything that comes against us. I like to compare that again to children. You can see that I have a lot to do with children. I teach school. I have a family. And there's a verse in the Word of God that I hold dearly. It's a wonderful promise, and it's very simple. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's a promise, right? I love it. And a lot of times, even as parents, if we question even to put order in our children's life, if they don't understand it, I go to this verse. You train them up in the way they should go, and they will not depart from it. And this verse has such a vast amount of wisdom. And it does seem like a suggestion at first, but as soon as we had children of our own, I started seeing the wisdom behind it. But I will only talk a little about that. This is not a child training session. But I want to use an example here. One of the truths that I teach my children from an early age is obedience and respect authority. And it's not only for the functioning of the here and now, to make, you know, here and now function, but also the future, to train their hearts to submit to the Lord in all teachings of the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And I ask them this question. If you never learn to recognize the voice of authority in your lives, your parents, or is it your teacher, how will you ever recognize the voice of authority in God? Amen. When the Holy Spirit comes and even presses things on our hearts, how will we recognize the Holy Spirit? How will we have the character to be obedient to Him? If we never train children under that order, we're putting a lot of work that we parents have to do onto the children. And it takes a lot of effort from children, from parents, I mean, especially fathers in the home, to be diligent, present. It invests many hours into their children. There is love, care, order, rules. But in the end, the child feels cared for and loved. And it's contrary to what the worldly wisdom wants us to believe. Such children actually come with a heart that is nurtured, cultivated, and ready for the seed of God to germinate, grow, and bring forth fruit. Whereas, as dads, if we neglect our children, they will have to, by some miracle of God, learn all these fundamental attributes in their later years. And as I'm growing older, I find out that it's not that simple. Many children never recover into the adult years and remain babes, even in the Lord. Even they come to the Lord, they remain babes. But we cling to what Jesus said, with God all things are possible, and we never give up. But I'm just trying to point out that how important discipline is in a child, so it is in a young believer. Discipline, order is important. It protects holiness. It protects the life of God. A child that is trained, a child that is being held back against his will, that learns to do that, learns character. He learns to walk against popular culture, against the things that come against them. And a child that has this training, or person, they learn to freely operate in an environment where they are not snared or trapped or to destroy them. And that environment is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. To have a heart conditioned and trained for honor and reverence, which produces a godly fear, to which the Word of God tells us in Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, It takes a lot of discipline as a believer. And maybe the reason I'm putting this emphasis on is what we're going against in the Western world today of Christianity, where the emphasis is on being saved and rather a people, a holy priesthood that bear his name, that are a local body that is a reflection of Christ, the body of Christ, and where a body brings glory to his name. And I want to say, when we come to Christ, we sign up for something that is not easy, something that is not just casual. When we sign up for Christ, with Christ, we sign up for sonship. And I want to take our attention now to Hebrews 12. And remember, we talk about all of this with having eternity in mind, with God fulfilling his purpose in us, in our churches, and learning to recognize our freedom in Christ, what it actually is. And it's not just me doing whatever I want now. And I think most of us here can relate to that. Once we've come and we experience Christ, when we know that the only deliverance is in Christ, we like to overreact against our past, against people we met in the past, all of that. Only to find out that we've come under and we are being constrained by the love of Christ, where he adopts us as sons. And what does a son do? A son learns to walk with his father, to accept the inheritance, to go through some tough times. So Hebrews 12. First, let's look at verse 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, it's going talking about 11, the heroes of the faith, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Here's one already, as a son, to lay aside every weight and sin which easily ensnares us, and run with endurance. And how? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. When I think about these verses, I think about the rebuttal of, well, Christ did it all for you. But what does he do here? In verse 3 also, for consider him. And he says, look unto Jesus. We are not exempt from these hard things. We're not exempt from walking away from tough situations. We should expect, as believers, some hard times. The problem is, when we walk into some hard times, hard decisions, we usually bow out and walk away, because it's hard. And because with our preset mind, this is not freedom. That doesn't even smell like freedom. And then we walk away. Verse 3, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Consider him. If it's discouraging, we look to Jesus. You have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, but Jesus did. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons, as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Who wants that? Who wants this chastening, this scourging? Every son he receives. It doesn't sound very appealing, very freedom to me. But a son has to gain a total different mindset. versus one that is still trying to convince himself to Christianity, or maybe even serving Christ through his own condition that he sets, or through his own set of ideology. A son that is free in Christ will see the working of God in his life. And as we'll continue here with these verses. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons, if you endure it. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are an illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be subjection to the fathers of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chasten us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. And here we are, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Does holiness come with a price? I think so. And one thing I might add, it will hurt. But in the end, it's worth it. And as it says in verse 11, now no chastening seems to be joy before the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it leads the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. It yields peaceable fruits of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And that verse sums it up. To everyone who desires to have a clear and a close walk with the Lord, this one line, no chastening, seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. And I believe is where so many people bow out because of our Western mindset. It doesn't feel, taste, or smell like freedom at all. And let's be real. The hard moments in Christianity come, a lot of them, come with each other. God commands us, Jesus commands us, together, where two or three are gathered in my name, there will be in the midst. He wants his people together and to not forsake the assembly. But it's hard work. What has to happen for an assembly? What has to happen for a local body to function? There has to be, again, pain, giving up, submitting to one another. Why? For the glory of God. So Christ can be glorified in our midst. So Christ can use us. This is why we do it. And if you ever know, just think about it. One, the most pain that we endure is in the church. It's painful, but it's worth it. To serve the Lord with a single heart and a single mind. And he came to set us free from the bondage of sin and death. It will be painful, it will hurt. The enemy tries to entangle us through all kinds of schemes, but it will not work. It is only through intentional decisive action that we will be overcomers and co-heirs in the kingdom of God. And if we're still playing with God, we will be continually ensnared into sin or other strongholds that will cripple us. There's one thing that I found out. If we play with God, the results are there. If we're not free, is it sin? Is it idols? The results are there. There's no flourishing. There's no nourishment. Christ cannot do his work in us if we have not completely surrendered. It's evident. It's evident all around. There is an interesting encounter in John 8. If you want to go there, I would suggest you do. Verse 31. Jesus is sitting with those who believe in him. And he's sitting with them, and it seems to me that he desires to bring them more truth. Those that believe in him. And in verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now that seems like good info to me. That seems like if Christ has started his work in us, our ears should perk up, our eyes should open. Okay, what do you got to say here? But look in verse 33, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Okay, let's stop here. Doesn't that statement remind you of the day? We are Abraham's descendants. What? You mean I'm not free? I've been born again. I grew up in a Christian home. I'm in a church choir. I'm baptized. We hear these things all the time. Jesus saw deeper than that. He saw deeper than what they came back to him. And this is where we again see the word. The word coming out of Jesus that is sharper than any two-edged sword in response. Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Our lives look pretty good. We had this thing pretty good in order till you came. And we're descendants of Abraham. How can you say we're not free? And that statement is even mind-boggling. I mean, they were under Roman rule. So they must have gotten something that is talking about something spiritual probably. But he said, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And this is one of the precious privileges that we have as God's people, is to be freed from sin, from the slavery of sin. And Jesus was already talking to the point where he will deliver his people. A slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. And he goes on to say, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And this is the freedom we are talking about. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And he goes into the inner heart, into the inner rooms. He takes out, he reveals the sin, the idols, whatever there may be that we'd be holding on to. Pride. And he exposes it and gives us the option to come forward and say, I can take that. I will forgive you. But we have to see that without that, the wrath of God is upon us. And somehow we still have this mentality that we can, as we saw this earlier today, that we can work these things out as best as we can and be okay. But have we given it to Christ? Has Christ dealt with it? Have we come in humility to Christ and say, Lord, here I am. And if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. There's no more questions. A child that is free, we don't go around and say, is this brother or sister a Christian? Or is brother Jimmy here a Christian? I can figure that out. How about the sister? Is she a Christian? We'll have to see. No. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And this is how we can check our own hearts. If we still struggle with sin, if we're still in bondage, if we still live in fear, the Son has not made us free yet. And pretty soon we'll be drugged down, miserable, anxiety, Anxiety a lot of time comes from a heart that has not been cleansed, a heart that has not surrendered. And no pill will fix it. If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And it's up to us what we do with it. If we choose not to surrender our sin or idol, we are not free. And we can listen all day long to truth. And it makes us feel pretty good, actually. But we still have to do something about it. Christ can make us free if we let Him. And it can only happen to a person that is effectively pursuing to live out the kingdom life here and wherever he is. And this is experiencing freedom. Free from the chains of sin and death. Free from idols. Free from addictions. Free from alcohol. Free from social media. Free from a vicious cycle of sin. What I've noticed, I guess I can also talk a little experience in how Christianity is interpreted today. This deal that we can sin, but at night we're going to repent. And we show even remorse. And the next day, we're at it again. And we repent. And the next day again. And maybe eventually we stop repenting. I don't know. But somehow, somewhere in our mindset, that is being interpreted as Christianity and the forgiveness of Christ. This is slavery. Slavery to sin. And so many believers are stuck in that. And whereas we should joyfully serve Christ and be free from the snares that the enemy comes and gets us. And I say it again, the only way to do it is to be honest and in humility with Christ. Humility. God gives grace to the humble but resists the proud. And I look at man. What is there that he's proud of? God has given us this time here, this grace, to repent and to be free. And we have this pride that we just walk away. When most males are the same, and I'm sure most females are the same, struggle with the same. Not exactly the same, but you know what I'm talking about. There's no new stuff, but yet we still have pride. When we come in humility before the Lord, He will free us. And not playing with these sins. This is not freedom. And this is not Christian liberty. In the modern history, like in the United States and the Western countries, freedom was mistaken. It is mistaken to gain a license for evil and profanity. Like, the more evil you can do, that's more freedom. Mutilate children, that's freedom. And it's all a scheme of the enemy to ensnare even more souls. Whereas freedom at a country level is allowing citizens to be productive and express their economic dreams, their religion, without persecution. And with the degradation of morals, we can clearly see how liberty is interpreted in Western society today. Look around. It is not freedom. Freedom we enjoy in our countries is to effectively and productively function inside a certain guideline and environment without bringing harm to another individual. But the iniquity of men has long since exploited that freedom. And when I look at the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, I see very similar, the same model. Grace has not given us a license to sin. Grace has given us the ability to overcome sin. There's a line that we walk with. There's grace to walk with our brothers and sisters. There's grace to overcome wrong, sin, the enemy, but not to engage in it, but not to fall into his trap. We're soldiers called to action under the lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ. By surrendering everything to him is where we experience true freedom. Coming out from under the law does not give us a license. We can sin and do all kinds of foolish things. But we become what? We come under the law of faith, where Christ through the Holy Spirit is our guide and our law. That is freedom. Christ came to set at liberty those who are captive. Isaiah 61 is a picture. When Jesus started his ministry, he quoted this passage in Luke 4. And this is also the testimony of God's people. Verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. This needs to be our testimony. And have you noticed that the order of these verses, how they are structured? First, we have the promise of Jesus, which I feel the church inherits that ministry. And then we have the fruit of that ministry. The fruit of that ministry. And it's the result of a redeemed people, an army of ordinary people that have been redeemed by the glory of God. To rebuild the old ruins, they shall raise up former desolations, and shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. This is our calling. Not what can I do today to some kind of freedom that my flesh enjoys, but that we've been set free to express the freedoms in Christ in our midst, and to be obedient to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to set at liberty those who are captive. And if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Not to sin, but not to be selfish, not to live according to my lusts. It reminds me of the parable that Jesus spoke in Luke 12. You know, when we all have this journey, when we come to the knowledge of the truth, and we sense the freedom that Christ brings. And it says in Luke 12, after he was blessed, the rich farmer there in the parable, after he was blessed with good crops and built bigger storehouses, said, "Soul, you have many good laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." How did God respond? "Fool! Fool! This night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?" We never take the blessings of God, the freedom that God provides, and just use it for our own lust, good, and then try to interpret that and convince ourselves that's Christian freedom. But we take these freedoms and we move within the boundaries of the kingdom of God, and where men and brothers and sisters are committed to one another for the purpose of the glory of God. May we be faithful in what we've been given. One verse that really comes to mind here also is the one in it's in Corinthians 3, I think. Or Corinthians 6. "All things are lawful for me." How often have we quoted this one? "All things are lawful unto me." All things are lawful for me. It's our Christian liberty. But I think we miss the heart that Paul had here. His heart was not on the fact that things are lawful to me. The law of God still stands. But he goes on to say, I think this was his heart. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. Well, okay. Can live with that. But the next one, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And I believe the church is not standing on guard, we as God's people, to be brought under the power of any of these things. We so flippantly make decisions, not realizing that we could be brought under the power of it. It's like we've spoken a lot of times about technology. And I love technology. I love it. But what are the ramifications of it in our own life? Have we been brought under the power of them? This is what we need to look at. If we're under the power of them, we will not experience the freedom of Christ. That was Paul's fear here. Not to be brought under the power of anything else but the Lord Jesus Christ. That is freedom. So, in closing, what are a few things that we can be free from? Of course, freedom from the bondage of sin. For sin, Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. In Ephesians 4:22, that you have put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you have put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And it's again something we take for granted, how we've been freed from the bondage and the power of sin. Something miraculous when we come in all humility and truth to Christ. He does something miraculous where he puts the power of God in it. Brother Reuben talked about that. Where he frees us from that bondage. And I usually say we just have our flesh to deal with that. Which it's a lot. But it's not the bondage anymore. We've been given the opportunity now to be obedient to Christ. And if we are obedient to Christ, we live. If we are obedient to our flesh, we die. But we're not under bondage anymore. We're free from the bondage of sin. Freedom from guilt. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But how? Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. He has set us free. Now we walk according to the Spirit. There is no condemnation. And we walk by faith. And we're free from God's wrath. God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, and that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Romans 1:18, we can see God's wrath on unrighteousness. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Can you imagine that without Christ, the wrath of God is upon us? And it's up to us to come to Christ and to be free from that. Otherwise, the wrath of God, the judgment of God is upon us. We have freedom to come boldly onto the throne of grace. This is a promise that I hold and love dearly. And we do it by faith. We have the freedom to enter the throne room of God. And I think God's people don't exercise that freedom enough. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, Hebrews 10:19. What a tremendous freedom, this privilege to enter the throne room of God. We have the freedom to be heirs as sons. We are no longer a slave but a son, Galatians 4:7. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. It's there. We have this freedom in Christ. So we can see that freedom frees us from any stronghold of the devil or of any subjects through our divine work of the Holy Spirit. The enemy has no claim on us or authority over us when we are Christ's. And the person that can experience these freedoms will walk as a son or a daughter with an inheritance. Not foolish or insecure or lost, but knowing that he is an adopted son or a daughter of the Most High. Praise God. Knowing. It is one thing that true freedom does. It brings an assurance. It brings a security. Who we are in Christ. And the counsel was here today already. To immerse ourselves with the things of God, with the Word of God. This is what we pursue. This is what we go after. This verse where in James it says, draw nigh unto God and will draw nigh unto you. What does that even mean? I believe it's more than a mental aspiration. I believe God is pleased when he sees us making steps in our own life, in our personal life, towards him. With a heart that wants to identify with him, that wants to be with him, that wants to be close to him. And he will honor that. If we just say, yes, Lord, I want to be close to thee. Do you think anything will happen? I don't think so. Always remember, if we don't pursue Christ as a son or as a daughter, there's only two kingdoms. That's it. Two. And there's no in between. It's the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of darkness. And in the end, it narrows down to this simple fact. That either we are walking in the kingdom of light or in the kingdom of darkness. And I will go on to say, if we do nothing at all, we end up in the kingdom of darkness. A son or a daughter pursues their inheritance. A son is free. The last verse of that song, God's children are advancing, marching till we reach the goal. For the battle is almost over and we'll soon be going home. I can hear the sound of angels as the saints go marching in, singing praises to the captain of the blood-washed band. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity that we can come before you, that we can be free from the wrath that was upon us, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that you've given us an opportunity to come unto you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the author and the finish of our faith, that you have walked in obedience, in true freedom, in obedience to your Father, Lord, and you were obedient even unto death, the cross, where you experienced the resurrection, our glorious hope, Lord. Oh, Lord God, we pray that this same Spirit that quickened your and raised your body from the dead will quicken our mortal bodies, Lord. We pray that you can do your work in us. We pray, Lord, that these words, the promises that you've given us to be free indeed, will do a work in all of our hearts. We pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here that struggles tonight, that they can experience your freedom and not find it in anything worthless, in anything foolish, Lord, And not to throw the conviction of the Holy Spirit aside, Lord, but to see your freedom in you and to experience it, Lord. And to have the humility to come before you, Lord Jesus, in all humility, Lord God. Oh, Lord. Lord, may we not tremble this free gift under our feet. Oh, Lord, we pray that we can accept it with all our hearts. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.